Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together.
Jesus sets forth, as He did last time we were in the Sermon on the Mount, He sets forth the principle, and then He gives you the reasons why you should obey the principle. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, "Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." The principle that Jesus is setting forth in this passage is, do not judge unjustly or unrighteous judgment. Now, what does he mean? Well, at first, let's look at the word for judge there in verse 1. And it is the Greek word krino, which means to separate. It means to distinguish. It means to select. It carries the idea of making an assessment. We get our English word critic from this word. But we don't find much help in understanding what Jesus is trying to tell us simply from looking at the word. In fact, some people say what Jesus means is we are not to pass judgment or have a discerning opinion about anything. They say we should never voice an adverse or unfavorable opinion. We're never to say somebody is wrong in what they're saying or what they're doing. They say when Jesus says, "Judge not," He means that we are not to place any judgment on anybody's actions. But instead, we are to be indulgent and tolerant of people. Almost anything for the sake of peace and harmony. Now, in our day of political correctness, this interpretation is taken by many people. Many church people. I know the true instance in a Baptist church where the teacher of the men's Sunday school class was a retired army officer, and he was known to have a problem with the alcohol, drinking too much. And he would even on occasion come to teach his class a little high. When the discussions were going on about what to do about it, guess what some said? "Well, you know, the Bible says, 'Judge not.' Now, who are we to judge what he's doing? And you know, everything's going so good in the church. As soon as we say something, it's going to cause a stir, and it's going to destroy the peace and the harmony that we're having in the church." Now, that really happened, folks, in a Baptist church. And more than a few times, it's happening, I'm afraid, every week in churches throughout this nation. When there are problems that need to be dealt with, but somebody says, "Well, you know, Jesus said, 'Judge not, and you shall not be judged.'" In fact, I heard those very words this week in a situation where some people's behavior was less than appropriate. And one of the responses from one of the people in the meeting was, "Well, you know, Jesus said, 'Judge not.'" Well, is that what Jesus really means? That we're never to ever judge anybody's behavior, but just let anything go? Well, let's let the Bible explain itself. And I think we'll see that's not at all what Jesus meant. Look, for instance, in verse 6 of this same chapter. Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Now, if you're not going to cast your pearls before swine, you've got to make some judgment on who the swine are. right? So Jesus cannot mean never ever form an opinion and make any discerning actions about people's behavior. Look also in the same chapter, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says, "Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they?" Well, if you're going to decide who's a false prophet, you have got to pass some judgment. Look also in chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears my words and acts upon them may be compared to the wise man who built his house upon the rocks. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them is like the foolish man." Now Jesus says, one man's wise, one man's foolish. You have to make discerning judgments about people's actions. So he's not saying don't judge anything. Look over in John's Gospel, chapter 7. And here I think Jesus clearly gives us the principle, even stated more clearly than the Sermon on the Mount. John 7, look at verse 24. Jesus says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." We're not to judge unjustly. We're not to judge merely by appearance, but we're to make righteous judgments. And we'll talk about what that means. How do you make a righteous judgment in a few moments? Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, I'm giving you many examples in the Scriptures because the idea that, oh, judge not, is used so much. I want you to have plenty of ammunition the next time it's spoken and say, now, wait a minute. Then why does the Bible say this and this and this and this if it means we're never to ever judge anybody's actions but let anything go? Just don't stir the waters. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 9. Paul says, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people." Now, you've got to pass judgment on who an immoral person is, so you won't associate with them. He says, "I did not mean at all with the immoral people of the world, or with the covetous or swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world." Paul says, "I'm not talking about folks in the world. I'm talking about folks in the church who are acting like this. They're the ones you're not to associate with. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother." In other words, he calls himself a Christian. "If he should be an immoral person, or covetous, or idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, nor even to eat with such a one." Now, you have got to be exercising some judgment to determine who these people are. So he cannot mean judge not ever form an opinion or unfavorable ideas about someone, or judge someone's actions as being wrong. Now look over in 2 John. Now that's over toward Revelation. It's a real small book. So if you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. Start easing back. 2 John comes right before 3 John and right after 1 John. All right? 2 John, beginning with verse 9. You there? "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teachings, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." Now, you've got to use discernment. You've got to pass judgment on who these people are so you won't have them in your house and participate in what they're doing. So Jesus cannot mean we're never to pass judgment. What he is saying is we are not to pass unjust judgment. He is speaking about that harsh, condemning attitude of judgment. Jesus is speaking about that self-righteous spirit that seeks to condemn others because they're not as good as he is, epitomized in the Pharisees. The Pharisees set their standard of what was right and wrong, and it was a false standard, but it was their standard. And whoever didn't measure up to their standard, they condemned. Jesus didn't measure up to their standard, they condemned him. That's what Jesus is talking about. The attitude of self-righteousness that condemns everyone that doesn't live up to their standard. He's condemning that spirit of superiority that makes us think we're always right and everybody else is always wrong. He's condemning that spirit, that hypocritical spirit, that always looks for something wrong in other people. In fact, enjoys finding something wrong in other people. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us like finding something wrong with other people because it makes us feel better about ourselves. See? If I can find something wrong in you and I can think, man, oh, so-and-so, so-and-so, then I feel a little better about myself. And we like to feel good about ourselves. And so in that sin nature, in that flesh, we have the disposition to enjoy and look for something wrong in other people. That's what Jesus is talking about. That attitude that takes pleasure in finding something tainted in someone's life. That's why we're so quick to hear a word of gossip and hold on to it. Proverbs says a whisper, and it's speaking about gossip whispered, is like a morsel that we grab onto and we take it into our body. Hearing something juicy about someone else. That's why these tabloids at the checkout stand at the grocery store, Star and National Enquirer, that's why they're so popular. People love to find something juicy wrong about somebody, particularly somebody they see on the silver screen or see on the television, and they think, man, I'm better than they are. I can't believe they did such a thing. That's the attitude Jesus is talking about. He's speaking about the attitude that takes minor things and makes them major things in order to condemn other people. I look over in Romans chapter 14. Paul's writing to the Christians in Rome who were doing this very thing. They were taking minor things, making major things out of them so they could judge each other. Now the minor thing was whether you should eat meat that was sacrificed to idols or not. Remember the pagan culture? And part of the pagan culture, they would sacrifice meat to idols. Now, some Christians said, you shouldn't eat that meat. It's been sacrificed to idols. It's tainted. Other Christians said, so what? We don't believe in the idols anyway. Meat is meat. It hadn't been affected by that. And it was good meat, good steak. And it was cheaper than the other steak. And so some of the Christians said, there's nothing wrong with eating it. Well, they had a division. The ones that ate it were condemned by the ones that didn't eat it. And the ones that didn't eat it, the ones who ate it, looked down on them. So they were looking down on each other for something that wasn't that important. And so Paul writes in Romans 14, and he addresses this. And look what he says. Look at verse 1. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. And the one who was weak in faith was the one who wouldn't eat the meat. Who thought it was wrong to eat it because it had been sacrificed to idols. Look in verse 3. Let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has accepted him. He says, guys, you're making a mountain out of a molehill here. You're getting all upset about things that really don't matter. Stop judging each other. Look in verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Are you again? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Verse 13. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. Paul said, you don't judge each other, but really, if it's going to cause somebody to stumble for you to eat that meat, then the loving thing is just not to eat it. Don't cause a brother to stumble. Don't judge him, but just don't cause him to stumble. And then in verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is condemning this hypercritical spirit, this spirit that condemns, that is a judgmental spirit. Now let me give you some characteristics of unjust judgment. And you can tell if you're exercising the kind of judgment Jesus says we shouldn't by these characteristics. First of all, unjust judgment is based on faulty information. This unjust spirit of judgment accepts hearsay at face value and doesn't take time to find out the facts. He hears it. It's judgmental. It's condemning towards someone. It's gossip. And he grabs hold of it and he says, man, and he repeats it. He doesn't take time to try to find out if it's true or not. Let me tell you what I heard about so-and-so. I know an instance where it got around the church that the preacher was smoking cigarettes. And when they got around to finding out where this thing got started, they found out that one of the church members was driving by the preacher's house, and he was out cutting grass, and he had a sucker in his mouth, and the white stick coming out looked like a cigarette. Can you believe it? That's the spirit Jesus is condemning, folks. The spirit that doesn't take time to find out the facts. The correct judgment, just judgments, discovers the facts. Secondly, the unjust judgment is characterized because it's based on wrong standard. It's based on a wrong standard. This spirit judges people according to their opinion. The standard that they set, not according to the correct standard, which is God's Word. You see, this unjust spirit knows nothing of Christian liberties. There are areas in the Christian life we call Christian liberties. These are areas that God's Word does not speak about. He doesn't say it's wrong. He doesn't say it's right. It's up to the individual Christian to go before God and determine, is this thing right for me in the presence of God? Now the problem is, if one Christian goes to God and he gets the indication it's not right for him, another Christian goes to God and he gets the indication it's okay for him, and so he goes and does it, and the Christian who thinks it's wrong looks at him and says, that's wrong. He shouldn't be doing that. Man, that's a sin. He is passing judgment on him, but he's not using the righteous standard of the Word. For instance, dancing. Now, I'm not talking about dancing in worship. The Scripture says you can do that. I'm talking about just social dancing. Now, there are some Christians that say you should never dance. You should never go to a dance hall. I don't know if they call them that now, but you shouldn't go to a place to dance, right? Ever, never. Shouldn't have go to a prom. Shouldn't do any dancing at all. Other Christians say, I don't see anything wrong with dancing. You know, if it's decent dancing, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, those are areas of Christian liberty. But the problem is, when the one who believes dancing is wrong forces his conviction, or tries to, on the one who thinks it's all right, and he condemns him for going. Same thing can be said about going to the movies. Same thing can be said about playing cards. You know, things like that. There are people who set these things wearing bathing suits. Where are women wearing slacks? All those kind of things. Another example. You know, there's some people that think the only inspired Bible is the King James. Yeah. And some people think that. And they think any other version of the Bible is wrong. That King James only is inspired. Now, that's not a biblical standard. But if they go and pass judgment on other people and say, you're wrong, you're sinning by using any other translation, and those who are very strict on it, and there are some that are so strict, they think it's a sin to use any other translation. Now, it's not just they think it's the best, they think it's the only one. That's another example. Women wearing slacks. There are people who say women shouldn't wear slacks. It's wrong. Other people say, I don't see anything wrong with it. And the danger is that spirit unjust judgment takes the standard of their own opinions and forces it on others. Our standard must be the Word of God. That is the standard that the just, righteous judge uses. He goes to the Word. If it matches with God's Word, it's okay. If it transgresses God's Word, then it's wrong. Third characteristic of the unjust judgment is it's based on motives rather than actions. You see, the unjust judge judges people's motives. Now, the Bible says there is no one that knows the human heart except God. That's why He's the only one that can judge the motives of people. You and I can't judge people's motives. For instance, say somebody sings in the choir. Somebody looks out and says, "Look at them. They just singing in the choir because they want people to look at them. They just singing because they want to show off that new dress that they have." See, judging their motives, knowing why they're doing everything. Now, that's an unjust judgment. We can't judge people's motives. The righteous judge judges people's actions. See, that's the only thing we can really judge is a man's actions. And when a man's actions transgress the teachings of God's Word, then it's the Word of God that judges him. We're really just pronouncing what God's Word already says. But when you try to judge people's motives, now, it's also possible for somebody to do something wrong and for us to misjudge their motives as well. For instance, it's very common when a church goes into a building program, as part of that promotion of that building program to raise that money, is they get people to give up and give testimonies about how much money they have given to the building program. Now, I think the Scripture's clear that that is not right, to get up and talk about how much money you give. And the purpose, of course, is to encourage other people to give. All right, say you're in a church and somebody gets up and they give a testimony about how much money they're giving to the building program. And you immediately jump in and say, "Man, they shouldn't do that. That's wrong. They just want to show off." Now, you're okay as long as you say they shouldn't do that. That's against Scripture. But when you say they just want to show off, you're getting into the motive part of it. And you know, the truth might be that they really didn't want to get up anyway, but their pastor asked them to do it. And so they hated to say no, and they felt like, well, if he wants me to do it, it must be all right to do it. And they had rather not be there. But you see, you're misjudging their motive, and you are exercising an unjust judgment. So righteous judgment judges actions, not motives. Number four. This hypocritical spirit has no mercy. The unjust judgment knows nothing of mercy. You are wrong, you shouldn't have done it, and you need to be punished to the full extent of the law. But you know, in righteous judgment, there's a time when it's appropriate to exercise mercy. A man steals bread. He is wrong. We do not excuse that action. He is wrong. But his family is starving to death, and there is no other way he has to get bread. Now, mercy would take that into consideration and say, though his actions are wrong and he must be dealt with, mercy will come to bear upon that situation. And so righteous judgment knows and exercises mercy when appropriate. The unjust judge knows nothing of mercy. Number five, this unjust spirit of judgment never examines itself for the same faults. Never examines itself. The motto of this unjust spirit is, "Faults in others I can see. Praise the Lord, there's none in me." Now that's the attitude of the unjust judge. They clearly see everybody else's faults, but for some reason, they never see any faults of their own because they do not first examine themselves. Now, the reasons Jesus gives that we're not to judge unjustly are, number one, we're back in Matthew, because we will be judged. Look in verse 1. "Judge not, lest you be judged." Now, first, we're going to be judged by others. It's interesting, the person who's always judging others can expect others to judge him also. It's that principle that we will reap what we sow. You sow those seeds of unrighteous judgment, and you will reap those seeds back. You live by the sword, you will die by the sword. If you're a person that you find people always being critical of you, then you need to look and see if you are always being critical of other people. Also, we'll be judged by God. Now, although the Christian will not be judged in reference to our salvation or our sin, we will be judged according to our actions as a Christian. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 10. Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or evil." So you and I as Christians will stand before Christ someday, not to be judged in reference to our salvation or our sins. He's already dealt with those and we've been forgiven. But we will in reference to how we've lived as a Christian. And if you exercise unrighteous judgment, this will come back to you, and you will be judged for this. Also, in this life, God judges us in this life. When we sin, He exercises His discipline in our life. And so if you and I are going around with this spirit of an unjust judgment, and we're critical and condemning people, then we will release God's discipline in our life now. Second thing Jesus gives as a reason why we should not judge, not only because others will judge us, but we will be judged by the same standard. Verse 2. "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." We set the standard for our own judgment, whether it be just or unjust. Jesus will judge us with the same standard that we use on others. You're setting the standard of judgment in this life. Now, what kind of standard are you setting? Is it harsh? Is it unmerciful? Is it hypocritical? Is it unloving? Is it condemning? Or maybe you're setting another standard. It's loving. It's merciful. It's knowledgeable. It's kind. It's gentle. A third reason Jesus gives why we should not judge is because we cannot see clearly ourselves. Now, Jesus gives a very ridiculous picture in these verses to make his point. He says, "You're gazing and trying to remove the splinter out of, or the speck of sawdust out of someone's eye, but all the time you have a boulder, you have a rafter, you have a log in your own eye." Now, can you imagine that picture? It's ridiculous, isn't it? But Jesus is making his point. You're trying to correct someone else's faults when your faults are much greater than theirs. It's interesting. You can have a speck, but when it's in your eye, it's like a log, isn't it? It's like a blind doctor trying to operate on your eyes. Ridiculous, isn't it? Jesus is saying this is how ridiculous it is to have this condemning, hypocritical spirit, because our faults are probably larger than the person we're trying to condemn. In fact, we usually see the faults in others that we have in ourselves. You're selfish? It's amazing how you see selfishness in other people, how it's magnified. In fact, think about what bugs you about other people and look in your own life and see if it might not be something in your life like that too. What you're condemning in other people, look in your own life and see if it might be there as well. Jesus goes on to say that we are to judge righteously. Now notice what he says in verse 5. "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." He doesn't say just walk away. He says, take the log out of your own eye, then you can help your brother. So we are to judge, but we must judge with a righteous judgment. Now look over in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 1, and we will see from Paul some insight on how to go about judging righteously someone's sin. Galatians 6. Look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, first thing he says is, we must examine ourselves. Lord, search me. Lord, know my heart. Show me if I'm seeing clearly. Show me if there's sin in my life that I need to deal with first before I go and talk with my brother. Let those who are spiritual, those who have examined themselves first, then go and speak with the brother. Secondly, they are to go in gentleness, not in a haughty, condemning spirit, but they are to go in love. They are to go in humility. They are to go in gentleness, being alert, lest they be tempted as well when they go to help that brother who is in sin. So what does Jesus mean when he says, judge not? He means don't judge with an unrighteous judgment. But we are to judge people's actions. And when they are contrary to the Word of God, we must state lovingly, gently, but clearly, these actions are wrong. They're not pleasing to God, and we want to help you to move past this and to bring your life in line with God's Word. As we are continually examining our own life to make sure that we're not guilty of the very thing that we're trying to help somebody else with, that we might be true to God's Word and judge with a righteous judgment. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll take your word and that you will use it to accomplish your will in our lives. That you will enable us to judge with a righteous judgment. As you have convicted us of unjust judgment in us, may we confess and repent and look to you for the grace to obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps today your sins have caused a separation between you and God. And I want you to know Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to remove that sin barrier. And you can have fellowship and a relationship with the living God. What Jesus did was live a perfect life and go to the cross to die for your sin. Jesus says, all who will come to me, I'll in no wise send any away. If you'll come to Jesus, he will receive you. If you'll throw yourself upon his mercy and say, Jesus, I know I cannot save myself, but you've done everything necessary for me to be saved, and I cast myself upon your mercy. Save me. He'll do it. He'll take your sins and he'll wash them away. He'll give you a place in heaven. He will come and live within you and enable you to live the Christian life. Are you willing to come and surrender to Jesus as Lord of your life? Are you willing to turn away from anything in your life that's not pleasing to Him? And that's repentance. Just come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, if it's not pleasing to you, I don't want it in my life. Now, some people try to clean their life up first. You can't do it. He's got to do it through you. You come to Him willing to clean it up, and He'll clean it up for you. But you got to look to Him first. Call upon the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. If this is your heart's desire, if you'll come down front when we sing, I'll be glad to share with you, and we'll have others talk with you further about how you can have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If God's dealing with you along some other line and you need to come and pray, you feel free to do that as we stand and sing together. Lord.